Welcome to my Soul Series. Soul Series is part of Oprah and Friends, exclusively on XM Radio Channel 156. And you can listen to the entire Soul Series collection on xmradio.com/Oprah. It's uplifting, enlightening, truly powerful. Welcome to Soul Series.
So, we're back with Roger Kamenetz. He's the author of The History of Last Night's Dream, Discovering the Hidden Path to the Soul. Last week, we were talking to Roger. We have the same thing on because, really, it was really just 5 minutes ago last week. It's funny how the week just snaps on by. I was so fascinated because the way we, meaning most of us, have been interpreting our dreams, you're saying, is all off base, basically.
Almost completely.
Completely off base in the history of last night's dream. What I want to ask you, were you always a spiritual person, or did this work lead you to a deeper level of spirituality for yourself?
I think that this work has led me to a much deeper level. I think I've been involved in, religious dialogue with Tibetan Buddhists, and, I wrote a book about that years ago. And so I've been around a lot of great teachers, the Dalai Lama,
mm-hmm.
but... I think in terms of...
And your teacher, Mark Bregman?
Mark Bregman, who's
yes.
incredible,
yeah.
An amazing teacher who I discovered, he's great.
So you're saying, for those of you who are just joining us this week, that all of our dreams mean something, and that the dreams are really a pathway to begin to discover the three gifts that they have to offer us. Would you tell our listeners, viewers, what
right.
those gifts are?
Sure. The first gift is basically to discover your predicament and what's in opposition to your soul emerging mm-hmm. into the world, to your really being who you were meant to be, who you were born to be.
Mm-hmm.
And the second is to see that soul as another character, as usually a little boy or a little girl, and to understand what how that soul came into the world, what the issue is that you've been sent down here to deal with at the soul level. And then the third piece is this whole realm of exploring this inner world that becomes so complex and feeling how these archetypes, which come male and female, I call them in the book VIPs,
right.
very important persons,
yes.
how they work with you.
Mm.
They work with you as teachers in your dreams in such a gentle and just powerful way that you can learn a lot just from the way they work with you.
But, we all have dreams about getting lost or... getting nowhere,
right.
running around in circles. And though, these are all seemingly, trivial experiences, you believe that all of these dreams have something to teach us about, clues about not only who we are, but also why we're here.
Sure, absolutely. Let me give you an example, if I could.
Mm-hmm.
I had a dream that a lot of people have in different fields. In my version, I'm a professor at LSU, so the dream is I walk into a classroom, I don't know what subject I'm supposed to teach. And so, I figure, okay, I'll throw out a few lines of,
right.
And see what they say, and then I'll get an idea of what I'm supposed to be doing there. The students turn their heads, they ignore me, they walk out of the classroom. That's the dream. Now, most people say, oh, that's an anxiety dream.
Yeah, I would think that.
Actors have dreams like that where they don't know their lines
right.
or what play they're in. So
you know what mine is? It's so funny. It's interesting how you say that everybody... I didn't know that everybody fits whatever their chosen field is.
Right.
Mine is, I'm reading the news with Walter Cronkite. I am reading the news with Walter Cronkite, and my script is completely out of order.
Right.
And I'm always on the wrong page.
Right.
And Walter is sitting there, and he cannot believe that I can't get the frickin' script in order.
Right.
And I
right.
can't either
right.
because here is my, I'm right. sitting with Walter Cronkite.
Right. He's the big daddy. He's
yeah,
the
he's
father
the big daddy.
Archetype,
yeah.
really.
Mm-hmm.
And your anxiety is really a feeling of inadequacy when you're with him.
I'm not measuring up.
Right.
And of all the
That's
times in the
feeling.
World for my script to be out of order, and
yeah.
why didn't I put the script in order before?
It's not about the script. It's about your feeling that this it's done on purpose to get you to feel more deeply into that feeling and recognize that you probably have that feeling a lot.
Mm-hmm.
in your life. And so the script is just a ruse. It's kind of a trick to get you to have
yeah.
that feeling in connection to whatever Walter represents. So he's clearly an archetypal guy.
Right. I had one with Stevie Wonder once performing on the floor where I couldn't get the words.
Right.
And
right. Right.
And I was having a lot of anxiety at the time. I was away from home and feeling really disconnected. And then every night I would have the same dream. And the closer I got to home, the more lines I could remember.
Mm-hmm.
But you're saying that's not anxiety. I certainly thought it was.
It
by
is
the
anxiety.
End, I was singing with Stevie Wonder on the stage.
It is anxiety.
Okay.
But underneath it is a feeling of inadequacy.
Well, isn't that what anxiety is? Isn't that what everything is? Isn't that the key question for almost all of us all the time? Am I good enough?
I don't mean it that way.
Okay.
I think at the soul level, we feel inadequate in relation to the divine. We all feel inadequate. We mm-hmm. need to feel, it's hard to believe that it's that there could be such a connection to someone as worthless as oneself.
You lost me there, Roger. At the soul level,
yeah.
we feel lost in relation to the divine. I thought at the soul level, we all recognize that we come from the divine. At the soul level, not at our ego level,
right.
but at our soul level, we realize that we come from the greater soul. At the soul consciousness level, presence
right.
level,
right.
we recognize that we are a part of the greater presence, the greater. That's,
well, that's a belief that many people have.
Oh, I don't believe that. I feel that.
Well, when you feel it, you're not feeling it adequate.
That is true.
Right. So that's my point.
Okay.
But when you're feeling inadequate, you probably aren't really feeling
okay.
the connection.
Okay, then. Okay, I'm going to agree with you. Yes.
Oh, good.
Okay.
I was feeling a little inadequate there. But
no. So I agree with you, Roger, that
okay, good.
When we are feeling disconnected,
right.
Alienated, things aren't going well in our lives, what we're disconnected from is the greater soul or
right.
God.
Right.
And we feel, how could something right. so omnipotent love
right.
me?
Right.
Yeah.
And these are feelings.
How could I be of value in a world of such greatness?
You know, and each
in
soul,
a universe. Yeah.
Each soul is different, so it really would depend. Some people truly don't feel that even at that level. The child, the little child that they see, doesn't
yes.
have the ability to feel that. I mean, or they might feel disconnected. Like in my work, I found out that my boy was an orphan. And so that boy did not feel he was taken care of.
What do you mean, in your work, you found out that boy was
well, I after a series of dreams where I was lost and wandering,
yes.
I ended up in an orphanage, which terrified me.
Your boy, you mean yourself?
My boy, yeah, my soul. My,
your soul.
Yeah.
And you're saying that when you dream about a child or children,
right.
it really is representative of your soul.
Yes, can be, yeah.
Yes, and so that's what you're talking about when
right.
you're saying, my boy.
Right, and that's my boy. And I also have a girl, but I have a boy. And
okay.
It's both genders. It's not gender specific necessarily.
Right.
But the point is that to get to that point, you have to get past the opposition. There's a part of you that wants to take you away from your soul, from the boy, from the child.
From the boy, from the child.
So
is your soul always a child? And why is it a child?
In this work, it appears that way, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
It appears as a child. And I think partly because the children carry the feeling of the connection. Children are closer to the feeling of that connection.
Absolutely.
You
talk about during REM sleep that we also are able to disconnect from our sense of identity and the ego.
True. Yes. And that's so fascinating that the dreams open up this free imaginative realm where so much can happen. There's no time or space. There's no before or after.
Everything's so lucid.
Yeah, and
in
the dead and the living can appear in our dreams at the same time. We've like abolished ordinary time and space.
Okay, so here's a question for you. When the dead and the living appear in our dreams,
right.
are they appearing or are they just our dreams? Because you told us the last time you were here, last week, you told us the last time
right.
about that profound dream that you had of your mother.
Right.
And when I said, was your mother really there?
Right.
This is after your mother passed when she was 54 and you were 30
right.
something.
Right.
You said, yes, my mother was there. And lots of people who are right. listening to us right now or watching
right.
us, however,
right.
have had these dreams where someone right. has died and they feel
right.
like
right.
they were there. So my question is, when you're dreaming, are the people there or is it a dream? Or is it a manifestation of spirit somehow?
I don't know. I just know how it feels.
Oh, okay.
And
that's a really good answer.
And it really feels real.
Mm-hmm.
And I think people have those experiences. It's almost shocking how powerful that encounter is.
So tell us again about your mother. Your mother died. Did she come to visit you the same night she died?
No, she didn't. It was a few months later.
And she showed up and you said, hey, but you're dead.
Yeah, the first time.
Yeah.
I said, hey, you're dead. And she kind of looked at me like, you idiot.
Yeah.
You know? But then she later appeared and gave me this message that basically that there was a realm of experience where things are connected, where everything is one, even though in our everyday life it doesn't feel that way at all. It's so chaotic. And
what did she do, the three things she did?
Oh, well, we were in a garden, and we saw a bird was singing, a coin fell, and there was a splash in a fountain. And she said all of these things that appear like separate events are actually a single motion of a single wave through water. They were all one.
How was the bird singing?
How was it?
I mean, no, how was the bird singing the same as the coin dropping and the, how?
Right. It boggles the mind. I don't claim to understand and stand it at the material level, waking level, but mm-hmm. yet it seemed to me pointing to the idea that even though we don't see all the hidden connections between events, they're actually there.
Earlier, you were talking about the opposition, which is a prevalent character in our dreams. And
right.
What does the opposition represent in waking life?
It can be obligation, duty. I had one client who dreamed he was a professor, but he wanted to be an artist.
Mm-hmm.
He saw a little girl on the beach with a drawing. He loved her. He was really attracted to her. And then a fellow in a business suit came across and said, come with me. I want to show you a new building. And he goes off with the guy and leaves the little girl behind. So the opposition appeared as the man in the business suit. And when I asked him about it, he said, well, yeah, if someone asked me to look at a new building when I visited their campus, I would do it. So he was more drawn to him than to stay with the little girl who really was part of who he is more deeply. He was losing his soul, literally leaving her behind on the beach.
Suppose we're having these dreams, because I know everybody's just thinking about their own dreams.
Sure.
And what Roger is saying in this book, The History of Last Night's Dream, is that all of our dreams are there to be a gift to us.
Right.
And what we should do is embrace them. So let's just say, first of all, you need to read the book to fully understand all that we're talking about here today. But everybody's going to go to bed tonight, and they're going to have a dream. What is the first thing we should do to try to remember that dream?
It'd be good to write your dream down as soon as you have it and read it over and think and feel the images without interpreting it.
And you should write it down because there have been times where I didn't do this because I thought, oh, I'll remember that because that was so strong. And then you don't. You lose it.
So an everyday life sort of takes over.
Mm-hmm. When we write things down, don't we sort of overwrite the images as you're writing it down? And isn't the imagery more important than anything? That's what I got from
right. The images are important and the feelings.
Yeah.
Whenever your dream last week, I slowed it down to ask you what you were feeling at each point.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can do that for yourself and just ask yourself, what am I feeling? Do I ever feel this in waking life? How does that correspond to some feelings I have when I'm awake? That's very helpful, too, I think.
Well, remember, last week I was saying that in this dream with the children, the children were saying to me, what are you here to teach me? What are you here to teach me?
Right.
Should we be asking that of each of our dreams, though? What are you here to teach me? Because every dream is here to further enhance and be a gift to us, is it not?
First of all, that's such a profound question, which came to you in a dream.
Yes.
What are you here to teach me? It's a question I can ask of you can ask it of me.
And what I learned from that dream is what I was saying last week, is that I learned to ask that of everything.
Right.
That is the most important question you can ask of everything and every experience.
Right.
What are you here to teach me?
And it's a question that comes from the soul.
Yes.
If asked at a deep enough level, and those kids are asking that. So I think that's it. Tremendous.
Yes, and you know, I had that dream. Okay, so it's been 10 years now since I was on trial. And I remember having had that dream before really helped me get through that trial because through every aspect of the trial, I would say, all right, now what is this here to teach me?
Right.
I'm obviously here because I needed to learn this, and what is this here to teach me? And what is this here to teach me?
Well, the kids, children in general in dreams are more vulnerable.
Yeah.
They're more open. Their feelings are more direct. And so getting to know them and be with them and then ultimately to be them is part of the journey in dreams.
Was that dream with your mother?
Yes, ma'am.
Was that the most transformative dream you've ever encountered?
No, not at all.
Not at all?
No, in fact, I think the most important dream is probably one of the dreams that I have in the book where I'm an orphan, but my father comes to visit me.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then when he leaves, I weep because I realize that he is my father and I missed him. And so that longing for the father is really an important feeling, you know, to the separation that we feel from the father, from God, from the divine is painful. But we can say that. But to actually feel it in a dream was a truly, that was a transformative experience.
How old were you when that happened?
It was just before I wrote the book, so I was in my 50s.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I'm talking to Roger Kamenetz, author of The History of Last Night's Dream. So back to our listener, viewer, who is going to now write down their dream.
Right.
How do they then begin to do the work of allowing whatever that dream is from tonight, because people are going to have some very vivid ones after listening to all this, whatever that dream is, how do they begin to do the work to allow that dream to lead them to the path to the soul?
Try to know what the feelings are that the dreams are waking.
To go to the feelings.
To try to remember the feelings and see how they connect to your waking life.
If you're having the same dream over and over and over again, is that because that dream is trying to tell you something or teach you something?
It can be. For instance, the dream I had where I'm the think I'm the teacher. The way I got out of it, I mean, the way I changed was Mark said, "Could you, you know, how do you know you're the teacher when you walk in?" And I said, "Well, of course I'm the teacher. I've been teaching for 25 years." He said, "Well, how do you know? Does anyone say you're the teacher?" I said, "No."
But you know who you are. You know your own self in a dream.
Well, but in the dream, you can behave differently.
Yeah, I know that.
So he said, "I want you to do a homework and imagine..."
This is Mark, your dream
Mark
teacher.
Mark Bregman. Yeah, imagine that you're not the teacher. So I worked on that, and it was really hard because as I tried to imagine myself as a vulnerable student, all this stuff came in, like, what did I work all these years for, and why did I learn so much, and now I'm a student, you know?
Oof.
So I had to struggle with that, and I did, and then I finally had a dream, Oprah, where I walked in, and I sat down with the students, and then the teacher came in. So that was a real shift inside me.
Wow. Wow. As you were just saying that, I was thinking, maybe I wasn't flying above the children. Maybe I was one of the children.
Maybe you're supposed to land among them.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
Well, you say when you die in your dream that it's the ultimate alchemy. What does that mean?
Well, as we separate from the old conditioned self that is not faithful to the soul, to what we're meant to be, we can have dreams of dying, and it's such a scary experience.
Yeah.
And then this fear we were talking about that everyone has, you get to experience it and work through it, and then you never quite feel as afraid again. You don't feel the same kind of fear.
And what is this fear that everyone has?
Oh, I think it's just a primal feeling underneath all our feelings. It's normal. Everyone has it. It's just so basic to being a human being.
Can our dreams help us to release these fears?
It can help us experience them directly instead of projecting out into the world, which is makes it really hard to know what's going on.
Right.
You know, if I'm, you know, let's say I'm afraid of you, and so I project from that place of fear onto you all kinds of stuff. She's judging me. She doesn't like this or that, whatever.
You would do this after you've had the dream.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Write the dream down.
Right.
Look at what that really means.
Right.
Try to find somebody like yourself or wherever,
Mark,
to help you.
Right.
And so you're not saying do it within the, because I try to do it while I'm dreaming the dream.
Right. That's a lot of people who have powerful intellects and are used to doing that can do that.
Oh, thank you so much for describing me as one of those people.
Right.
No, I am in the dream trying to interpret the dream while I'm having the dream.
It doesn't surprise me because you like
flying above.
You like that approach.
The trees.
The high above thing.
Yeah.
And so you were taking the dream from the top down, but...
No, and I can be in the dream and say, well, I'm dreaming.
Right. But that protects you a little bit from the
going
actual
all the way
primal...
In.
There you go.
Going all the way.
Primal feeling.
So are you saying that when I'm in the dream, and I can tell that I'm in the dream, and I'm interpreting the dream while I'm in the dream, then I'm really not deep enough in it.
You could spoil it.
I could spoil it.
Yeah.
And I have. I've spoiled it. I've spoiled it and woke myself up because I'm talking to myself too much.
Well, I think there are things you don't like to feel. Not just you, Oprah. I mean, everybody.
Oh, well, let's get personal here, Roger.
Well, we have been personal. I'm telling you my dreams. You're telling me yours.
There are things I don't like to feel.
Every human being has things they don't like to feel, like being scared.
Yeah, okay.
Or being terrified or being hurt or being abandoned. I mean, we all have these terrible, you know, these are terrible things to feel.
Right.
We don't want to feel them.
Well, this has just been a joy talking to you. We got a minute, 27 seconds, so I have to ask you, what is the single most important aspect of the dream work that we can consider before we doze off tonight? Can we control or have some influence on as to what we might want to dream?
I don't think we should. I think dreams are the last. They're like,
leave them alone.
They're natural. So yeah. Let's let them be natural. Let's not try to interfere with them. Don't control. We control everything in our lives. Let's leave one area where we don't control, and that's our dreams.
All right. It's been a joy. Two weeks in a row.
It's been a great pleasure.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, too.
The book is called The History of Last Night's Dream, Discovering the Hidden Path to the Soul. Love it.
Thank you, Roger.
Pleasure. I hope you enjoyed this edition of our Soul Series. These are some of my favorite conversations.
To hear more, sign up for a free 30-day XM Radio trial by going to www.xmradio.com/Oprah.